Turn your Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, as we can continue our study in the book of John. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but that thou hast kept the good wine unto now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Will you pray with me? Father, this day, please bless the reading of this word. May we truly get excited about what you've done before, what you're doing now in our lives. Help us, dear Lord, to be the kind of people that you would be proud of to have in your life. In thy name we pray. Amen. What an exciting story. You know, it's so appropriate. John says this is the beginning of the miracles of Jesus. It's exciting to know that our first recorded miracle of Jesus in his ministry is the same as his last miracle would be, and that's a wedding. Because someday he's coming back as the bridegroom to take us home. So he started it with a wedding. He's going to end it with a wedding. You know, and a marriage is such a divine institution. Such a wonderful thing that God gave man and woman. And I think it's really wonderful to see that in Scripture we have the first recorded miracle of Jesus is a wedding at Cana. A lot of meat in this story. You know, actually, as we go through here, verse 11 tells us that this was the beginning of miracles, but John uses a different word here than the other Gospels do. He uses the word simeon, where we have the word miracle, and it actually means sign. John doesn't talk about miracles because miracles bring the focus to what's happening, where a sign brings the focus back to the one doing it. And John, as I told you before, is all about the deity of Christ. So he uses a unique word here to tell us to focus on who did it and not what was done. I think it's beautiful in the way John writes that. Jesus had just hit a period in his life. As we studied last week, he had called his disciples. He was getting ready to launch his ministry into the world. He was invited to come to this dinner or to this wedding, and he took his time there. But we have a transition period right now. Up to this point in Jesus' ministry, we had the witness of John the Baptist, and we studied him 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now we have a transition to Jesus Christ being his own witness. He tells us in John 5:36, But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus is saying, my witness, my testimony of myself is greater than John's because I've got work to do that my Father sent me to do. And as I accomplish this work, those signs, those proofs should tell you that God truly sent me. And folks, this is an important point for us to hold on to before we go into this study, is that in our lives, everyone who knows Jesus Christ, in your life, you've had a miracle take place. You were changed from that old dead sinner into a living being that will go to be eternally with God in heaven. It was a miracle beyond description. We're not even able to describe what takes place. In Sunday school, as we study about the sower and the seeds, I listen to people's perception of salvation. And we all have a different perception. We cannot describe what it is. It's that moment in time when you change from depending on yourself, that you change to a dependence on Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. And that's what Christ brought across in John 5:36, that I have a great witness of myself. And these next few years, we know now it was about a 3-year ministry, that he went out around that area and he performed many, many miracles. But John says this is the beginning of the signs, the beginning of the direction that will instruct you and turn you and teach you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is an amazing thing to me as I watch our world change, how Satan is doing his best to take down all the signs that point towards our Lord. He's trying to confuse us with stuff out there. We're so caught up in what we want or what we have lost or what we're trying to get a hold of that we've lost our direction. And Jesus today in this miracle, as we talk about it, I want each of you to take the time to realize this is a sign of the Son of God, that Son of God is your only hope, that if you're a Christian and you've drifted away from him, that you need this day to find your way back, because he paid a great price for what you and I have. So let's talk about this sign today. You know, many religions try to use this situation where Mary says they have no wine, and then she tells the servants, give him what he needs. And many religions try to point this to say that Mary exerted her authority over Jesus. Not true. It's not at all what's said here. I want you to, you've got to take yourself back to that point in time. Mary got pregnant before she was married. Everybody agree with that, okay? Mary had the Son of God grow up in her home, been living with him for 30 years. Think where this lady is at. Her son is just launching his ministry. She knows who he is. She comes to him and says, son, they don't have any wine. Jesus says to her, woman, what do I have to do with thee? My time's not here. Not a disrespectful term like it sounds like in English, but a sound that says, you know, mom, this is not what I'm about. It's not this problem that they have here at this wedding is not the problem I'm here to solve. Not at all. Mary's mind, put yourself there. For 30 years, this woman has been gossiped about. She's been looked down upon in her community because she got married out of wedlock. Got pregnant out of wedlock. You didn't do that in those days. You were totally ostracized and pushed away. Evidently, her husband has died at some point. We don't know what happened to Joseph, but there's no record of him after Christ's birth. So we have a woman here who's had a tough life. She's probably spent some of her time, because she's a human, guys. Don't hear? Mary is not God. Mary's a human. If you were the mother of the most perfect boy in the world, what would you do? You would brag, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you tell your neighbors? My son, Jesus, never causes me any trouble. My son, you ought to see this kid. He never backtalks me. He never does it. I mean, she would have spent her time telling people how wonderful her son is. This woman loved her son, but he is the Son of God. Now she's saying, son, show them. Right now, show them. They need something, give it to them. Show them who you are. Show them that I'm not crazy when I said that I was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Show them that I wasn't a bad woman. Son, show them who you are. And Jesus says, mom, it's not time. It's not time yet. But that wonderful, loving son went ahead and did what? Changed the water into wine. What's beautiful here is, you know, Moses, when he went to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know what? The first miracle that was done approaching the Pharaoh, the water was turned to blood. That's the old covenant. The water, the pure water, was turned to blood under judgment. Now Jesus Christ comes and he changes water into wine, the new covenant that says, I come to give you grace. What I bestow upon you, what I pour out to you is a wonderful thing. It's going to nurture you and raise you up. Jesus brought us the new covenant. What a day it was there. These disciples he had called, you see at the end, verse 12 says, and his disciples believed on him. These guys are following this man because he's charismatic and because something told him inside, follow him. We're looking for this Messiah. And all of a sudden, proof comes. Boom. The waters turn to wine. What an exciting thing that is. What a day it was in Galilee, in this place called Cana, when Jesus Christ started out on his career and revealed his his power to mankind. You know, there's a lot of silly books written about Jesus picking up dead birds and them coming to life when he's a baby and all kinds of folks. We humans will look for anything to create a story, won't we? What? If you don't believe me, turn on your TV from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. And they're called soap operas. And any of you are soap opera fans, I apologize to you. Man, I tell you what, we try to turn Christianity into a soap opera, don't we? We want to take all these absolute ridiculous things to reinforce the truth. You don't need it. Jesus did not need to bring a dead bird back to life to be the Son of God. Jesus did not need to do anything but hang on a cross, die on that cross, and arise from the dead. That's all he needed to do. These signs that point to him as we go through this book are simply a foundation saying, you know what, I'm going to do this for you. It gained him nothing. He's sitting at a wedding. Now let's just, in our mind, get a picture of Jesus sitting there with his disciples, and maybe each of them have a cup. And maybe there's nothing else to drink and it's all gone dry. What could Jesus have done to solve his problem? Well, if he's thirsty, all he had to do is look at the cup. It would be full of wine, wouldn't it? I mean, if these water pots, he says, fill them with water, with firkins of water. It's 20 to 30 gallons of water. These pots, stone pots, are set around Jewish homes for a cleansing ceremony they have. Jesus says, fill them with water. Did Jesus need to fill them with water? Could he have went like that? And all of a sudden the wine skins would have been full instead of the water buckets? Could he have done that? Why did he do this? Why did he say, bring me those stone pots, those ceremonial pots of yours, pour some water in there, and then go serve it? Why did he do it that way, folks? Because the elements of a miracle are this, and I've told you this many times. There's got to be need, there's got to be the presence of God, and most of the time, there's got to be a willingness of man to be a part of the miracle. And that third one's where many of us fall on our face. And God tries to give us what we need in our lives, but we're not willing to participate. He didn't need them to bring the stone pots. It just wasn't a need. He didn't even need the water in there. But Jesus made the people participate in the miracle. There was a need for this wine. Now, the wine they had back then that they normally served was three parts water to one part wine. It was very diluted. And that's what the ruler of the ceremony, the master of the marriage, is talking about here. Usually what happens is they would give the really good wine at the start. And everybody, after they had a few drinks, then they gave them the watered down stuff. But the master of the wedding says, you know what? This is the good stuff that you're bringing out at the end, the best. And as Jesus launched his career, he said, the best of God is now here. That's me. I am the best. I am to serve and give you the right things. This wine, remember what wine becomes later on, symbolically, a symbol of his blood. He right now is pouring out to these people. He's launching his ministry. He's saying, you know what? I love you. I don't need a drink of wine. I'm God. But because you have a need, I'm going to do it. But because you have a need, I'm going to make you be a part of it. I'm going to make you bring me these pots. I'm going to make you fill it with water. Folks, if there's a few pots there, 20 to 30 gallons of water is not light. That's a lot of weight if you're doing it over and over and over again to fill these pots. It wasn't something that happened just like that. They had to work at it. They had to do as they were instructed. They had to follow God's direction before the miracle took place. Do you understand the water was already wine before the pots even came before Jesus? Do you understand that? That when God willed it, it was done. It was just done. The rest of it was simply a part of getting those who claimed to be close to him to participate in the activity. So it needs to be in your life. If you're crying out for a miracle in your life, if you're saying, God, why is this happening to me? If you're fighting a battle, says, I don't understand these things, maybe God's trying to tell you, go get the pot and bring it to me. Go do this thing. Go do what I'm telling you to do, and that miracle will take place right now. But yet we spend all of our times going on and on and on. Folks, again, back to our world. We in the world are trying to create a world that satisfies us. God gave us a world that sustains us. God satisfies us. And when man can get back to the point to realize that satisfaction comes from the Father and not from anybody else, then we'll have a healing take place in our society. But until that day comes, it's not going to happen. I am amazed every week in what I hear in the news is taking place in my country. And there's nobody to blame because it's everybody doing it. Carmelita and I got kind of excited this week about having a new car. We bought that Chrysler. Now we either got a Creed or a Chrysler. I don't know what it is. Fiat's bought Chrysler out. I don't know what we have. Everything's changing in this world, folks. Everything's changing. And why is that change taking place? Because man is trying to satisfy himself instead of stopping and saying the only satisfaction comes from God. The only hope we have comes from God. You know, Jesus' response to his mother's request is an amazing thing. Think about your God. And a human says, my friends have no wine. Is that a major problem? It's not a big deal, is it? I mean, them not having wine was not going to stop the world at that point in time. But God took the time to take care of that basic need. What did it do? Folks, it accomplished two or three things. One is whoever was the host of the wedding, whoever was having the wedding, and a Jewish wedding was saving face was very important. It's no different than today is when you throw a wedding. If you have a daughter, people expect you to spend a fortune to get her married away. In some cases, it's probably worth the money to get her to move out, but... It's tough. It's hard. It's a status thing. When my daughter got married, fortunately, she married a doctor's son. So all I had to do was buy the cake. I got off easy. But a wedding was an important event to those people. Jesus saved that wedding host, saved face for that person. He provided what they didn't have. You know, they would have had gone out to all the guests and say, you know what, we don't have any more refreshments. You need to leave. But he saved them. He took care of the thirst of the people at that wedding. He took the time as God to say, what do these people need? I'm going to give it to them. What an exciting thing that is, to know that God has time to take care of my little needs. Yet I encounter people all the time that have no clue how to take care of their needs. They're struggling through a life when it's so simple, folks. Life in general is not fair. Get a hold of that, hold on to it. Okay? This life is never going to be fair. Hold on to that. But there's a life coming with God in heaven that's going to be perfect. And we're just in a little speck of time as we live this life on earth. Our trust, our dependence must go to God in heaven. That's the only hope that we have. Jesus Christ told Mary, my time is not yet come. You know, throughout Christ's ministry, there is many events that we see are of a supernatural aspect. But when you read in the Bible of his time, Paul described it this way in Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. When Jesus arose from the dead, he showed his credentials that he was God. That's what he's telling Mary here. Mary, Mom, you know, it's just not time for me to do these things, but I'm going to get busy. Then when he decided to do it, folks, he took the time to satisfy a basic need. I'm going to be truthful with you. Most exciting part of this story to me is in verse 9. Read it with me if you will. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And what's the most exciting thing to me in that is that the servants knew what Christ had done, but nobody else at the wedding did. only revelation that people, only people at that wedding that knew what Christ did was the servants, his disciples who were with him, and his mother. He didn't broadcast. He didn't brag. He didn't jump up and down. He didn't send people out. It says the servants knew. Do you know what that did to those servants for the rest of their life? Can you imagine when they went home what they talked to the family about? Do you know what? Honey, you should have seen. It was unbelievable. It was a pot of water. And this guy just said some words and it became wine. What an amazing thing. The servants knew. You and I are the servants in the world, folks. None of us are the rulers or the bosses or the politicians or the kings or the heads of state. We are the servants. We are the people who live behind the scenes. We're the common folk, if you will. And excuse me if that offends you, but we all are pretty common. We're the people that God reveals His truths to. And why would that be? Because He don't have so much junk in our lives to get around. The ruler of the feast would have done what if he knew what happened? He would have grabbed Jesus and drug him on stage. He would have walked out there and says, look, look, look what went on here. And Jesus is saying, this is kid stuff. This is nothing. I'm not even going to stamp my name to it. I'm simply doing something for people who have a need, just like He will in your life. Just like your everyday needs, He's going to take care of. And many of you, He already has. And yet we still don't stop and say, Lord, I'm ready to get serious about this Christianity thing. We're not willing to give up the junk we've collected. We're going to put it off till tomorrow. You know what I mean? Oh, Lord, I know if I just wait one more day, something good's going to happen, and then I'll get to you. God's saying, you know what? It's silliness. It's silliness. Let's take a moment to get reality, if we will, okay? And I'm going to pick on some of you, that's the way. Bob, how old are you? How old are you? 58. 58. Brian, how old are you? 40. He's pretty old. Okay.
He's seasoned.
He's pretty old. Ben, how old are you?
38.
He's pretty old. Okay. Amanda, how old are you? He's pretty old. He's pretty old. Brandon, how old are you?
15.
She's pretty old. Ivan, how old are you, buddy? 4. He's pretty old. Folks, this life is over like that. Most of you can remember when you were 4. If not, you remember 15. 4 may be way too far for you to remember. What I want you to understand is Christ is performing miracles in your lives, but you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And there's somebody, I can assure you this, there's already somebody sitting in this world saying, man, you're old. They're doing it, folks. Poor Ivan, give him a few years and somebody's going to say, man, he's old. Just think how old poor William's going to be when Ivan gets old. But the fact of the matter is it goes by so fast. And most of us never get off that treadmill. We never get off that thing that keeps us confused and spinning. And we never draw satisfaction from our lives. And Jesus is saying this. If you have a need and you're willing to be a part of the solution, I'll fix it for you right now. Right now. You don't have to keep putting it off till tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Until all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you say, where did my life go? Today is the day for Him to fix it. Today's the day for Him to perform the water into wine for you. Now let's talk about those stone pots for a minute, okay? These old pots are used for a Jewish ceremony. And I love how Christ took the old law, these old pots, these old purification ceremonies, and used them for the new covenant. He just took the old and pushed it aside and brought the new in and said, this is the new covenant. But you know what? Those old pots were still battered and beaten. They were used and set out to the side of the house. They'd been used for years. Those ceremonial pots weren't. Very few people had new ones. They were old, used ones. And Christ had them sitting there. And He took them and said, put water in them. Now, at what point did Jesus touch the water and make it wine? He didn't touch it, did He? He didn't touch it. Says, when they poured it out, it was wine. Okay? Now let's talk about that old pot. And ladies, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the guys. Them old pots was ugly, and we're old pots, okay? You ladies are the new pots around town. Those pots are something that Christ took and filled with something new that was a benefit to other people. You understand that? You and I are a pot that Christ wants to fill with His Spirit, that when it's poured out on other people, it leads them to a knowledge of Him. That's what we're about. We're just an old stone pot. We're living an old life. We're battered and bruised. We're not good for a whole lot except holding a bunch of water. And sometimes we can't hold that. Just old pots that aren't good for nothing. And Jesus is saying, I want to take you and fill you with something that we can pour out on mankind, and those people will know I have been in your life. You think those servants ever forgot what happened with those pots? You think the rest of their life, every time they passed by that house, they didn't say, wow, do you remember? Or every time they saw a pot, did it not remind them of the power of Jesus Christ? Well, folks, that's what our lives are supposed to be. It's supposed to be a life that God has filled up. If you're still the old battered pot with nothing but water in you, you're not doing what God wants you to do. He wants what comes out of you to enhance His name, to glorify His name. There's a lot of Christians who are going to heaven, but their whole life here on earth, they were nothing but a broken down old pot that never accomplished anything. They lived the old life. Pretty soon, the rock rotted away, and they were nothing but a pile of dust. God wants to take your old pot and fill it with something new. He wants to fill you with the Spirit. Wednesday night, folks, I want to speak to you a second, a little aside. I've said this before, and I'll say it 100 more times till it gets through. I don't understand attendance on Wednesday night in this church. I get phone call after phone call. The deacons get phone call. We hear through the rumor mill so-and-so needs prayer, but they don't show up to pray. Why? Why are we not filling this building to get on our knees and pray to God? We even changed the format a few months ago. We used to just pray. Now we're doing a half-hour, 45-minute Bible study after the prayer time. What I'm trying to get across to you is we're always, God, 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 do this, but God's saying, what are you going to do to help? And we're saying, I'm pretty busy. Pretty busy, Lord. Starting this Wednesday night, we're going to start a study of spiritual gifts. Every Christian here has a spiritual gift. Every one of you. Some of you have more than one. Wednesday night, we're going to start a study on it. And we're going to go through it till we've touched on all the spiritual gifts. And we're going to find out what our gifts are and how to identify them in our lives and what we need to do to use those gifts that our pot might be full of wine and not water. That's what a spiritual gift does for you. And I challenge every one of you here, if you don't know what your gift is or just think you know, then come and see what God's Word says about it. Find out what your spiritual gift is. Very simple. Has nothing to do with me. It's all in the Bible. Learn what gift Christ has given you, because same example I've given you before. If God gave you a gift at Christmas wrapped in a pretty package and you did nothing but leave it under the tree and never open it, would that not be offensive to God? How would you feel if you gave someone a gift and they never opened it? It just sat there. God has given you gifts to the perfecting of the saints that you might go out and spread the ministry of Jesus Christ in this world. Folks, We see Sundays this church is packed. We see Sundays when it's scarce. We see Sundays when we think, wow, we got to grow, get a new building. We see Sundays we're thinking we can't fill the old building. The ridiculousness of it is this. Every one of you have seen the water change to wine. Why are you not out there telling them? Why is what's flowing out of your pot not wine? Why are people still just getting plain old water? You know, this poor passage that we study has been used and bantered about between theologians for so many years. One is the focus on Mary. The other is you can buy books written between all kinds of pastors talking about whether this wine was alcoholic or not. Make an absolute statement about this wine. It don't matter. Okay? It just don't matter whether it was alcoholic wine or not. What matters is Jesus turned the water into wine. we need to get our focus off of all the junk that we get caught up in. Christians will sit around and talk about more stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They get lost when it's time to tell the facts of their Savior. And Jesus said this, go, put the water in the pot, now go pour it out to the feast. And it was wine. Why is that important to us? Because, folks, our lives, the satisfaction of our lives, is dependent upon, totally dependent upon, our service to the Lord. If you have not surrendered your life to Him, then your life is not finding the joy that you should have. Do you treat the wine like one of the rulers of the feast where you have no idea where it came from? Are you treating the wine like the servant that knows God changed it? What are you doing with what Christ has done for you? You know, Mary made a great statement in verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever God says to you, do it. You ever taken the time to just a moment look at your life and say, how many things do I know God's told me that I'm not doing? It'll amaze you if you'll take the time to do it. Most of us don't want to do that, okay? That's pretty hard. But if you take the time to say, what all instruction do I have that I'm not doing? It will amaze you to where you've gone in your life. See, Jesus does not want you to suffer or be unhappy. He doesn't want you to be thirsty or hungry. He doesn't want any of those things for you. But we live in a world that reality is we're all going to suffer in one way or another. Peter tells us that everyone who believes will suffer. You'll pay a price. What Jesus has promised is, I'll take care of every need you have if you'll just be willing to be a part of the solution. See, He took care of salvation all by Himself. It is finished. But the troubles you encounter in life, your faith is dependent on you handing them to Him, getting out of the way, and then just doing what He says. In other words, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Very simple. Two of my favorite quotes in the Bible. I know y'all get tired of hearing that because I say it about every quote in the Bible. Is Ephesians 4:26, let he who stole steal no more. If you got a bad habit in your life, stop, folks. Just stop. You don't need some fancy program. You need to quit doing it. And this passage right here, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Do you realize what it would be like if we lived by those rules? If we took any sin we're doing and stopped? Anything God told us to do, we did it. Where we would be? How happy we would be? You know, we're becoming a very much a minority in the world. Christians are truly becoming a minority. And we have... We've lived a pretty spoiled life because the world has always kind of let us have our way. Oh, folks, it's slowing down. They're trying very, very hard right now in the U.S. Congress to push through hate crimes legislation, which as an extension is what happened in Canada. It came down to the point that pastors were no longer allowed to preach against certain things in their churches. Are they committed a crime? Our world is changing. The world is trying to fill your pot with water. Christ wants to fill you with water that becomes wine. And you've got to make that choice yourself. You don't have to stand up here this morning and preach hard at you. It's not one of those passages that you throw hellfire and brimstone around. It's one of those passages that says common sense. That if you trust Jesus with your eternal life, why are you not trusting with your earthly life? Why are you not saying, Lord, fill my pot. Fill me with what you want in there. Move all the other stuff out. Let me be a blessing to those around me. He took the time to do His mom a favor. Folks, He'll take the time to help you because He loves you. He loves you with all the depths of His heart. He died for you. In fact, I'm just going to close it off right here and tell you, when you walk out of here today, say to yourself, am I doing what the Master says? What am I accomplishing for my Lord in this world? What number, Brian? Please stand, number 381. If there's something in your life that's filled it up, that the pot won't hold what God wants to put in it, then folks, today's the day to get it out. If you're wondering where to go with your life, today's the day to say, God, show me. If you're just simply craving that closeness to the Lord, today's the day to just move in closely and put His arms around you. There may be some of you here who just don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have a knowledge of Him, but you never took it in your heart. Today's the day to walk out of here happy about who you are with the Lord. Please bow your head, close your eyes. Lord, what a wonderful little story that you launched your ministry with. Father, you had the time to grant a wish, to take care of a need, no matter how small it was. What a wonderful thing it is, Lord, that your mighty power, that those who witnessed it would always be changed. It says your disciples believed on you. Father, this day may no one walk out of here that doesn't believe on you and depend upon you. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, in thy name. Amen.